You are all going to die tonight.
Welcome to Horror in Session, a podcast where a horror expert and a horror newbie sit down and go through the history of some of your favorite deep cuts of horror films. As always, I am your host, Reina Cervantes, and with me as always is Kyla.
Hello! I'm so excited for this week's film. I know you've been dying to talk about this one.
Yeah, this one was kind of unplanned because initially we had wanted to go back to doing lessons, but we're trying something new. Going to do a lot more recesses, or going to have to rename them if they become like a more common thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to watch three movies a week, but it's really nice to focus on these films so I could really sit down and watch them and appreciate them, especially this one that you really, really like. So I'm excited about this.
Yeah, and joining us this week is a guest from a previous episode. Probably one of our more popular episodes, you would say, huh?
Yeah, it was the Dracula one, right?
Yeah,
our very first one. It's been so long now. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, a throwback to the first episode. please welcome back to Horror in Session, Mads.
Hi. I'm super excited as well. I love this movie, so I'm pumped to be here.
Yeah, I was really pumped that you both were down to watch this one. but before we dive into what movie we're covering this week, let's just do a little cleaning house. What have we been watching lately? I know it's been like quite a while, but Kyla, you want to lead off the conversation on that?
I forgot you were gonna ask me this.
Okay. I'm like, I literally said it like 5 minutes before recording.
Well, but I didn't know it all, so we're on the same page now.
Well, wait, me and Reina actually went to the movie theater, and we and Mads too, we all went to see Chaos Walking.
That was so fun. That was so awesome.
Yeah.
In IMAX.
Whatever that movie, it's even though it's not that great, it was so fun to see it in a theater. Like, it was just, it's such an event movie, you know, no matter if it's good or bad, it's an event film. So to sit there in a theater and just enjoy it, it was nice because me and Mads were both saying how we would have just been on our phone the whole time if we watched it at home. Yeah. It's not that good. But in a movie theater, I was just sitting there like, oh yeah, let me eat my popcorn and like watch this stupid shit.
Yeah, would have killed it in 2011. Would have killed.
Yeah, true.
I was sitting there watching it with you guys, and I was just like, man, fuck, this would have been really good to cover on our Manifest Destiny episode.
Yeah.
Well, kind of.
It would have been. I don't know why I was thinking this, but I was like, Mads Mikkelsen just like fits that Manifest Destiny role so well. I don't know why. He's just, yeah, everything.
He just looks like a frontiersman.
Yeah, he does, right? Oh my god.
I really liked the concept to Chaos Walking, and I kind of really liked the first half of the movie. Its second half left a lot to be desired, and then Mads pointed out that it was reshot like 11 times. And I'm like, oh, that is super obvious now. But and low key, I didn't like anybody in it except Daisy Ridley.
Me and Mads had opposite opinions.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Mads. No, we liked Tom Holland and Mads Mikkelsen a lot.
Yeah. We did not like Daisy Ridley in it.
Mads likes Mads.
Yeah.
No, it's so funny. For like the first week that Kyla got really back into tweeting about Mads Mikkelsen, every tweet I'd be like, is that about me? And then people were tagging me in her tweets and being like, I thought this was about you.
Oh my god.
So funny.
Ironically, Mads Mikkelsen is in one of my favorites of like, is it last year already? Yeah, I would say it's last year. He was in one of my favorites last year, Another Round.
Yes. Oh. A great film.
Which I really loved and highly advise everybody go watch that. I believe it's up for Best Foreign Film at the Academy Awards this year.
It is. I did not know what I was getting into when I watched that movie. I didn't.
Oh, you watched it?
Yeah, I rented it. I paid like $4.99.
I think I sent you a screener code for that for free.
No, but I watched it like 4 months ago, like five months ago. Oh,
did you?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Or actually my time issues are messed up. I don't know what time is. It may have been like 3 months ago.
It might have been somebody else that I was talking about that with, and they were like, oh yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
No, I definitely rented it, and I didn't read a synopsis.
Synopsis.
And I didn't watch a trailer, so when I realized what it was about, I was like, okay, all right.
That's kind of how I'm doing with, like, I know this isn't watching, but I'm like, I started that new video game, Disco Elysium, and I stayed away from, like, everything and went in totally blind, and I'm like, oh, okay. I love doing that with stuff, but yeah. Back on the topic of movies, Mads, I know that you watched Chaos Walking lately, but is there anything else you've been watching?
I did. I feel like I've been watching so much. I went and saw Prince of Egypt in theaters, which, I mean, I've seen 1,000 times, but it was amazing to see it in theaters. It's crazy. The animation is so beautiful. And then I watched, like, I don't know. I've been watching a lot of movies lately. I watched, Eighth Grade again this week, I love. I watched Promising Young Woman this week for the first time. I watched the Snyder Cut. Oh, of course.
Oh yeah, shit. We haven't even talked about that.
Which, oh my god, 10 out of 10. Loved it so much. Like, I loved it so much.
I think I was texting you about it before you watched it. I was like, no, this shit is, like, good.
Yeah, no. And then I definitely spammed on every social media platform because I watched it, like, at midnight at release. And I was like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. But, yeah. And then for horror, I bought the, like, Blumhouse 10 movie box thing. So I've been, like, going through those, like, pretty consistently. But yeah. That's what I've been up to.
Which one of those are you on?
The next one I need to watch. I don't remember what the next one is, but I've watched like half of it. So love that. So fun. Gotta love Ma. Ma was my first one.
Don't
make me drink alone. Yeah. But yeah, that's what I've been watching.
Right on. And yeah, for me it's just like Chaos Walking, Snyder Cut, which I loved, and then later today I'll be watching Godzilla versus Kong.
Yes, same.
Are you guys going to be watching that on HBO Max or yes, or are you going to go to theaters for that one?
Sorry, you go, Kyle.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't know it came out on HBO Max tonight.
Yeah, it's live right now, actually. Ooh, okay. You can watch it right now if you wanted to.
Yeah, so I am watching that. So I hate that I'm going to do it like this, but I'm going to watch it while I'm traveling today on HBO Max. And then I'm going to go see it with my parents tomorrow because we're all huge Godzilla and Kong fans. Like lifelong, every time a movie came out, we were there. And so we're going to go see it in theaters tomorrow. And I'm so excited. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go catch that one tonight in Dolby.
Ooh, like, yes.
One of those like Dolby cinemas. I'm pretty excited. I had to buy my tickets like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because it's like crazy sold out.
I know. I tried to get Dolby and then I ended up having to get digital instead. So I'm going to go with my pledge brother from my DK fraternity tonight. So that'll be fun.
That's awesome.
Right on. Well, we'll have to discuss it on the next episode. What our thoughts are on it, huh?
Yeah, I know. I think I don't know.
I'm super stoked. I love Adam Wingard's movies. He's actually somebody whose movies I've been wanting to cover on the show at some point.
Okay. Did he not direct the last one?
No, he didn't.
Okay, because the last one was.
He did he's done You're Next, The Guest, Blair Witch 2016,
That'd be fun then. Like, it has potential then, knowing that it has a better director. I wasn't sure why people were so hyped about it.
Now, what? Hold on. King of the Monsters, Michael Daugherty, did a really good job. Another horror director.
No, the last one.
Yeah, King of the Monsters.
That came out in 2018.
Yeah, King of the Monsters.
That one was... Is that the one in the Ice Age? Not the Wait. Ice Age. The Antarctic.
Yes. Oh, the one with Godzilla and Ghidorah and Mothra.
I mean...
Rodan?
No. Like, that one was okay.
Listen, everyone's like, the human story is stupid, but I'm like, I'm there it to watch stupid. Big kaiju, like, throw hands with each other.
Okay, but, like, it's not that hard to just, like, not put so much stupid human stuff in it, then.
Stupid human stuff, she says. Quite the take, but I respect it.
No, I mean, I like the humans.
Well, I mean, the first one with Aaron Taylor Johnson is like all human story.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's just like the story just made me mad just because it was not coherent. So I guess
I was like kind of offended with that last movie, how the one Japanese character gets killed with a nuke.
Oh my god! Oh.
Have you guys never really noticed that?
It didn't click for me until now.
You're like, oh god. Oh god.
For me, I was appreciative because I knew that like this originated like in Japan, and the fact that they like had the like OG Japanese character like save the day, I guess. I thought that was a little nice touch to it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. But that's weird. But yeah,
it's like, I get it. It's a reference to the original one. He even uses the oxygen destroyer from mm-hmm. the original Godzilla movie. But I like walked out of the theater and I was like, the Japanese character got killed with a nuke. I'm like,
it's not the best. No.
I'm like, we could try again next movie. Do a little bit better. But I'm really looking forward to this new one. I'm actually kind of excited that Millie Bobby Brown's character is coming back.
Yeah,
I do like her.
It just makes me think, because like, I know they're like the same like universe and whatnot, and all these movies like share like a story, but like none of them have really picked up from one another.
Don't know much about them, that's why. So
Godzilla 2014 isn't picked up in Kong Skull Island. Kong Skull Island isn't picked up in King of the Monsters, except for like one side character who's like an old man in the King of the Monsters. And this is like the first time that like a main character of a previous movie is like coming back.
Okay.
I always kind of wondered, like, I was like, they really had Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson in Kong Skull Island, and I was like, oh cool, maybe they'll bring them back as like older versions of their characters in a future movie, and they just like never did.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like they're fumbling the bag by not bringing them back. Like, I love their characters, so
so Corey Hawkins's character from Kong Skull Island is in King of the Monsters.
Yeah, no, for sure. But
like, he's like an old man.
Like, come on, age him up. Let's go.
Yeah, like Brie Larson in old age makeup.
Yeah.
Could be cool.
And you guys seen the originals or no?
Yes.
Yeah, I own the Criterion box set.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Cool.
I own that. I'm like looking at my collection right now. I own that. I own like Godzilla 2014, King of the Monsters, and Shin Godzilla.
I need to watch the originals.
Yeah.
That Criterion set is like hella worth the money. Every time like a 50% off sale goes live, I always recommend it to people.
I want to get it, so I'll get it, and then Kyla, you can just come over.
True.
I got it. I can always.
Oh, true, it. True.
it's like 30 movies, but it's like so worth it.
Okay.
Because it's got like all the original like Japanese cuts.
Nice. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, before we get too off track, you guys ready to dive into the movie that we're talking about this week?
Let's go.
All right. The movie this week is A Bay of Blood from 1971, directed by Mario Bava and written by him and Gilepsy Sacarello. The film stars Claudine Auger, Luigi Pistilli, Claudio Camasso. I'm butchering names today. I apologize. The murder of a wealthy countess, which was erroneously deemed suicide, triggers a chain reaction of brutal killings in the surrounding Bay Area as several unscrupulous characters try to take over her large estate. So, I chose this movie because it's one of my favorite giallo horror films. Big fan of Mario Bava, and this is a movie I love showing people for the first time ever. Which I believe the only one who hadn't seen it this week was Kyla, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
So what was your reaction to I can't even like describe it other than like pure insanity.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I always took well to those, like when we did the original Evil Dead and then when we did Motel Hell, and it's just the fact, the era too that it was filmed in, it just makes it all the more such a vibe, you know. But also, this is such a surrealist film. Mm-hmm. So that was weird. I was not expecting it to be like surrealist.
I was gonna say that's like I don't know if you've ever seen any giallo films, but it's kind of par for the course for these.
Yeah. No, I was just about to say that. Like, Kyla, is this your first giallo film?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's very like pulp novel inspired, and like all the colors and everything, it's just always gonna be surrealist, like for those movies. So it's awesome that you picked up on that, because like that's the thing. So yeah.
That's interesting, because I never see like modern day surrealism. Well, this isn't really modern, but it's like it's more modern than when it was a movement, you know. I just saw like Meshes in the Afternoon and the Dolly one that's really popular in film class. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really seen it used anywhere else. So it was interesting to see it in a narrative format.
So this one was a very intentional pick. A Bay of Blood, I feel like, teeters the line between a traditional giallo film and almost like a proto slasher.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like this is the one to show people to, like, if you're trying to get them into giallo and like maybe they're like already into slasher movies, because giallo is like a whole other like ball game compared to like everything else. Well, and
like Bay of Blood kind of set the scene for the next decade or two of slasher films as well. Like, it was one of the forerunners, so it is like a perfect mixture of the two genres for sure.
Mm-hmm. And with our plans to like cover Italian horror extensively coming up, I felt like this would have been a good like appetizer for Kyla to really dive into.
Yeah.
Giallo and Bava, what's the difference?
Bava's the director and giallo is like the genre. So like it's a type of horror movie, like a very pulp inspired horror movie. And Bava is a very great director who did like Kill Baby Kill and this, and like he was a big part of it, but it was like anyone could make it, you know what I mean?
Interesting.
Yeah.
And giallo, like Matt said, is very pulp inspired. A lot of the time they're like almost like detective stories, or like an outsider like trying to solve like a mystery. Bay of Blood leans more towards like proto slasher. Like straight up, like and I was gonna like dive into this a little bit more. Friday the 13th Part 2 like ripped off this movie.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like like, you watch, like I know eventually we'll cover Friday the 13th movies on the show, and like, Kyla, once you get to part two, you're gonna be like, this is a Bay of Blood.
I've been telling you I've been wanting to do Friday the 13th.
I know we're going to, but we're those are going to have to be lessons where we knock out like three movies an episode, because there's like 12 of those. But definitely, this movie like really disgusted people when it first came out, because even like by today's standards with like slashers, it's still like really intense.
Yeah, no, and it was so brutal, and like, you can just tell it was so inspiring for like other slasher films. So it's so nice to go back to it and like see like, oh my gosh, this movie took this aspect from it and all of that. Like, I am so glad I was able to rewatch it and like be able to talk about it with you guys, because it's just such a fun one. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. fun fact. This there's like what the body count's like 13 in this movie.
Oh,
so
I like that.
It's a little on the nose, but yeah. Yeah, the film was like also such low budget. Like, Bava like was his own cinematographer, and like some of the like a lot of the tracking shots in the film that like look really good are done on like a wagon, like a kid's wagon.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, oh, he just gosh. Like popped the camera on there and just like rolled the wagon.
Yeah, no, and like a lot of the like forest scenes where they're going around in the shaky cam felt, I don't know if you guys have seen City of the Living Dead, but it felt very similar to that, like at certain parts, and I was like, oh my god, sick. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I love it. I love those shots. I love the wagon shots. They're great.
Yeah, like I can't imagine what people at the time like thought of this movie. Yeah. Cuz like I was watching it last night. Like, I waited until last night to watch it. And the scene that always gets me is the Bill Hook scene where it just like,
yeah,
just like smacks it like right into his face.
So good.
I do like that one. It's so funny.
What did you think of like the plot or like the story and like the many twists and turns that it takes?
It was funny. It was funny when, you know, the main lady, like, self-defense, you know, stabs that other guy. She turns around and they're like, we killed them. Now we have to kill the others. And I was like, what's going on? Like, she just found a bunch of dead bodies in the bathtub. And then she, like, self-defense killed this guy. And all of a sudden, it's like, we killed him? Like, what in, like, where did this correlate? You know? It was just, yeah. It's interesting.
It's Knives Out, but everybody murdering each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, none of it makes sense, but on purpose.
That's kind of giallo as a whole.
It really is. It really, really is.
But no one could have prepared me for that, because in the beginning, they act like it's a normal ass movie.
No, and I love that it just, even back then, has so many of the murder tropes that, like, weren't really tropes back then, but now they are, like, especially the beginning with, like, the teenagers who just, not teenagers, but the young adults who just want to, like, party, and that's just, I don't know, so good. So good for the plot. I love it. But
I love those teenagers. Yeah,
this movie, so the property they shot on only had like a few trees in real life, and and Bava applies camera technical tricks to make it look like it's this heavily wooded area.
Oh my gosh.
Mm.
He's brilliant. And like, it being a low budget movie, he's the king of low budget movies. I love it. It's so good.
Yeah
he really like left his mark on kind of the Italian film scene, especially the horror scene.
Yeah.
Wait, if it's
like, you said it's Kill Baby Kill,
how is it not, how is it in English?
So, oh my gosh, wait, can I talk about this, Reina, or do you want to take it away? Because I love this.
No please be
okay.
My guest.
Oh my god, okay, so old Italian movies, especially, oh, so iconic for giallo movies, they would have the actors, they would come from Spain, they'd come from America, they'd come from Italy. In every shot you see, they are like speaking in their own language, and then the whole movie is dubbed over. And this was like every single old Italian film. they dub over the entire movie. So if you look at their mouths, some of it is correct and some of it is in English and it matches, but some of that is just a completely different language and they just dub over the entire thing. So like the actors, they'd be on set and they'd be in these scenes and they wouldn't even be speaking the same language to each other. And so like, it's so funny to see not only like it working out well, but also some disconnect where it's like, oh, these people are not having a conversation and like they're just emoting. They're like, they're just out here. And like one of my favorite things, I love looking out for like the dubs whenever I'm watching an old like Italian movie. It's so good.
That's but, yeah. crazy. That's just another layer to the surrealism. Like,
yeah, it's so off. I love it.
So have you seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know the end where Rick Dalton goes to Italy to start filming movies over there? Mm-hmm. In fact, he even like brings up that he's like, he didn't like their style of filmmaking where everyone speaks in their own native language.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Because that would be hard as an actor.
Yeah, because you would have to have interpreters and whatnot. Yeah. Clint Eastwood notoriously kind of fought with Sergio Leone. Mm-hmm. Multiple times over that.
That's crazy. Is that for like spaghetti westerns too and stuff?
Hence why they are called spaghetti westerns.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool.
Because they're Italian western movies.
Yeah, but do they do the dub thing?
They did.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I think it's funny.
So yeah, like one of the most famous ones is Once Upon a Time in the West by Sergio Leone. And it's got like Charles Bronson, Jason Robards, and Henry Fonda. And like they're all speaking English. But you could tell like all the extras and the side characters are like, it's like clearly like Italian extras.
That was such a perfect question, Kyla. I'm so glad you were curious about that because it's like so iconic.
Yeah, so I was like checking my sidebar like subtitles thing and seeing if there was an option for like the Italian version of just like Italian audio, but it just came like that and I was like, all right then.
No, yeah, it's pretty much like one version and that's it. Not unless you get something like, there's like rare instances where there's like a full-blown like Italian dub.
Yeah.
That's just so interesting.
Italian filmmaking is like really next level stuff. Which, yeah, I don't mind diving a little bit into that.
Italians love camp, or what?
They're looking camp right in the eye. Okay. Oh, man. Oh,
my God.
No, and I love also just, like, mentioning back to it being so low budget. Bava often, like, ran out of money while filming, and this happens. Like, I don't want to, like, I don't know if you guys are ever going to do this movie, but in Kill Baby Kill, he runs out of money 2 weeks into filming and the crew and the cast is so they're so ready to work on the project that they do the rest of it for free and he pays them like for their first amount of work, but he doesn't take a single cent from that movie. So like they just wanted to finish the project and like he didn't make a single dollar off of like what is seen as one of his best movies. And I just think that's like crazy. Like it's so crazy to me.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Love that's him. Insane. But yeah.
He's a true auteur.
Before we dive a little bit more into this conversation, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. Folks, do you love movies? The good ones? Even the bad ones everyone told you not to like? It sounds like Super Yaki is the place for you. The team at Super Yaki loves movies so much they've dedicated every waking moment of their entire lives to bringing you top quality merchandise to showcase your love for them. From super soft t-shirts advocating for the immediate production of a third national treasure to comfy sweatshirts that serve as a call to arms for all those in support of making Judy Greer America's lead. They even offer top quality enamel pins of some of your favorite directors like Sofia Coppola and Jordan Peele.
Super Yaki joyously brings you wearable love letters to the movies and filmmakers you love. Plus, the team at Super Yaki screen prints all their apparel using
eco-friendly 100% water-based inks and ships using compostable polymailers for an environmentally friendly alternative to online shopping. And as a special gift to you, listeners can save 10% on their order with code SUPERSESSIONS, all caps, no spaces, at checkout. If the spirit moves you, find them at superyaki.com. That's SUPERYAKI.com.
Let's watch more movies. So yeah, Italian horror, that's one of the big reasons why it always stands out to me. Like, I'm not gonna say, like, how do I word this? Like, whenever I watch foreign film, I gravitate towards high genre Italian filmmaking.
Yeah, for sure.
And like, yeah, for like the longest time, a lot of this was like inaccessible or like very hard to come by.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I'm like looking at like a stack of like Dario Argento movies that I own and like kind of in shock that I own them, because back in the day they were like, those things were hard to come by. And then this one and a ton of other Mario Bava films are on Shudder.
Yeah. So excited about that.
How do you own them now? Like, what distributor do you get them from?
Oh, it's like my Argento collection is like a mix. It's like Synapse, Arrow, Blue Underground. There's like, the rights are just like spread far and wide.
Oh wow.
I used to get mine from, I wish that I remember the name, but there is this very small video rental store in downtown Seattle, and it's has this massive horror section, and it's all very like niche movies. Like, it's this massive store, but it's like locally owned, and I can't remember the name. I love it so much. But they had a bunch of these movies. So they had Argento and like Bava, and like I used to just go and rent them when I was in school, and I'd watch them. But I never like really had a place to purchase them from. So having it on Shudder is so exciting for me. I'm so excited.
Mads, we should go. There's this video rental store. It's like a small shop in LA, and they do like video rental and like video selling.
Let's please go.
So Scarecrow Video.
I don't think it's called Scarecrow.
I've heard of that. No, and the shop I got it from in Seattle, that's where I bought my original Suspiria vinyl. So like the Goblin vinyl. And it's my favorite possession. So
I love
that. But we should go for sure. That sounds awesome.
We should. Raina, you should come with us.
Oh, you don't want me going in like a video store.
No, I do not actually want you going in a video store. I'm pretty scared.
Oh man, I go nuts whenever I go to like places like Amoeba and whatnot.
Oh my gosh, yeah. RIP.
Are they reopening that?
I believe.
Isn't that today? I think it's today. Yeah.
No, I think it's tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow? Okay. My bad.
It's tomorrow. They're finally opening their new location, I believe.
Oh, it's so not April 1st today.
No, it is the 31st.
Tomorrow is, this does not have anything to do with our conversation. Tomorrow, Olivia Rodrigo is releasing her single, so.
Deja vu.
Yeah, anyways.
I'm like, we can edit that out.
So, Italian horror, blood and guts and gore.
Very pastel blood too, like very bright, vibrant red, like clearly doesn't look like human blood.
That's why I love it though. Like, yeah. It's the kind of blood where you just see it and kind of want to eat it, like you kind of want to taste it.
The reason we haven't really done our Italian horror deep dive yet is because I'm really trying to pinpoint what movies I even want to cover on it, because you got Argento, you got Fulci, you got Bava, you got Bava's son, you got, there's so many that you're just like, fuck,
all where of do those, I begin? If in my list of like top four favorite Italian horror movies, those are the three directors, like Bava, Fulci, and Argento. Like, okay, that's it. Like, those are the kings.
Tiny tangent. I bought, I've always been a fan of Fulci's Zombie.
Yes.
And I was like, I haven't seen any of his other movies. So I bought a box set of like City of the Living Dead.
Yes.
New York Ripper and House by the Cemetery.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say I haven't finished that box set because I've hated no. House by the Cemetery so much.
Okay. City of the Living Dead. I love that movie. I've watched it so many times. I did like a 20-page paper on it in college for my final.
20 pages?
It was my film journalism final. But wow. I love that movie. I don't know. It's like so good, bad. You know what I mean? I love it. I love it.
I felt
yeah,
that.
you want to talk about camp, House by the Cemetery.
Okay, for sure. That one, you're valid for that, but.
I was like watching this and I was like, I'm angry at all of Twitter for telling me to watch Fulci movies.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah. Yeah, Bava's Son, also with Demons 1 and 2.
Yeah. Yep.
That he did with Argento. They just had their own like inner circle.
No, they really did.
So is this like, do people like know about Italian horror or what's the deal? Obviously the horror community knows, but like, do people like, is it popular, actually popular?
I feel like Suspiria, the new one, may have revitalized it a little bit because a ton of like people on Twitter were just like, oh, I'm going to look for the old one and I want to watch it. And they're very, very different, completely different. But I feel like that might have like revitalized a little bit of it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I could see that. But other than that, like, I've never heard of these names before and all that. So curious, you know?
Yeah, I would say the 2018 Suspiria kind of, like, revitalized, like, an interest in it. Or at least for people to go watch the original.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure probably turned a lot of people off because the original is nothing like that new one.
No, they're
but it's better.
But it's better. I was a huge Suspiria fan before like the 2018 movie like came out. And I was so scared. I was so scared I was going to absolutely hate it. And I loved it. It's just completely different. But I love both of them for like their own reasons. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was excited because I, like yourself, I was a huge Suspiria fan. Like yeah. That was the first boutique Blu-ray I ever bought. Oh. But I was pretty stoked when Luca Guadagnino was just straight up like, oh yeah, mine's gonna be nothing like the original.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I'm so glad that it was like intentional, you know what I mean? Like it was inspired by, but like it was an intentional difference and it didn't feel like it was lacking in anything because it added so much. I know you guys have talked about Suspiria, but yeah, I feel like I know a lot of my friends that are not horror fans. I like force them to watch some of these movies with me and some of them from like classes, but they really liked them even though they're not into horror in general. So I feel like it has an audience there. It's just a smaller one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That makes sense. But it'd be cool if the horror genre could open up to a wider audience, especially yeah. The niche stuff.
Christopher Lee, notoriously hated this movie.
Christopher
Christopher Lee, you know, Hammer Dracula, Count Dooku from the Star Wars movies.
Oh, well, like, do we care?
Well, yeah, because he was in Mario Bava's film The Whip and the Body.
And so he like openly said he hated this movie.
He went to go see this one because he respected him and worked with him. And a lot of people had respected Mario Bava at the time. And this one was so out of left field and so gory that to an extent that nobody had really seen before that they didn't quite know how to take it.
Well, you know, stop being boring. I don't know.
The kills in this movie are so good. I love
the
spear one in the bed, the one where he comes behind her and like slits her throat. So good. They're great kills. And the blood
is. You mean all those kills that like Friday the 13th part 1 and 2 like ripped off?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we have to talk about like the makeup artist on this film or like the VFX people.
Yeah.
Who did, especially the one where his like face is split in half.
So good.
That's a good effect.
Oh my gosh. Or when they're all already dead and in the bathroom, they look, oh, it just looked so good. Oh my God. Sorry.
I love it. I love it. I love gore.
No, yeah, no, please rave away.
No, I love that shot of her like over the sink and like looking in the mirror, because it's so disorienting and you feel what she's feeling. You know what I mean? Like she, you can tell how disoriented she feels, and it's just such a good shot. The corpses look so good. The blood, I love that fake blood. That like really bright. So when I was younger, I was like 10 when Sweeney Todd came out, or like 12, I don't know. And I loved the blood in that movie because it was so bright. My parents were like, oh, it looks so fake though. And I was like, no, I really love it. And I remember having this conversation in like middle school. And I, that love has only grown over the last like decade or whatever. And so I love looking back at old movies with that like very fake blood. I love it.
It's an aesthetic. It's part of the aesthetic.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I love this, the Suspiria blood too.
Yes. I almost said that earlier. Like the colors alone in Suspiria are insane. Like,
yeah,
the colors are incredible, but the blood is the best part. Like, and there's so much of it, especially in the beginning, that first like 15 minutes. Oh my God. Like incredible. Sorry. Love it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Good stuff. I think this film, they also joke saying it has like the most like alternative titles ever.
Yes, there's so many. Why are there so many?
Yeah, like it's Bay of Blood, A Bay of Blood, Last House on the Left Part 2, Last House Part 2, and then New House on the Left. And I'm like, one, it, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't this movie come out before The Last House on the Left?
I am pretty sure that it is, and that's why Last House on the Left 2 is my favorite title for this movie, 100%.
Yes, yes, A Bay of Blood is 1971, Last House on the Left is 1972.
I was watching another video about the titles too. Isn't it also called like Carnage?
Yes, and Twitch of the Death Nerve.
Yeah, and that's what Edgar Wright was saying, that he, that was his favorite title.
Wait, which one?
Twitch of the Death Nerve.
Yeah, I think that one's the most famous besides A Bay of Blood.
Interesting. You guys have to send me videos about this because I'm so excited to hear other people's thoughts. I love that.
Yeah, I have to send you the video I watched of Edgar Wright like talking about the trailer and then talking about the titles.
No, yeah, people like this movie. This movie has like an 85% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I saw that today. I saw that. That's so awesome.
No, I was just going to say, it seems like a cult classic. I mean, like, it's kind of reminds me of Evil Dead, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it definitely is a cult classic. Like, that's why I saw it so long ago, because it was being, like, talked about in like, certain groups I was in. But I haven't, like, I'd love to watch that video. That sounds so good. I love it.
It was listed number 4 in IndieWire's 100 Greatest Horror Movies of All Time.
Wow. Oh, okay. It's more popular than I thought.
Yeah. So, and then they credit with this movie with setting up the, oh, dumb teenagers in a wooded setting.
Yes.
Being butchered.
Yes. It definitely set the scene for that. And the whole like sexual promiscuity means you're going to die type thing. 100%.
Listen, the scene where they're just straight up like fucking and then they have like a spear through them.
I love
10
it.
10 out of 10.
One of my favorite parts in the whole movie. Love it. And the girl not streaking, but skinny dipping. Yeah. For that immediately.
both ended up being ripped off in Friday the 13th. Yep. Really like look at it too, because also like think about it, like I tweeted this out a little bit ago, I'm like, oh, Friday the 13th part 2 is an American giallo.
Yeah.
Only instead of black leather guns, black leather gloves, mm-hmm. you have Jason's boots.
Yeah. No, so Kyla, like two of the like things that are most popular in giallo are, it's the like black glove killer, and then the, Reyna, you mentioned this earlier, but like a foreigner coming to solve the crime. So usually an American in a European country comes to like figure out who the black glove killer is, and that's like the thing. And once you learn that, it's so fun to watch that happen in so many movies like later on, so many thrillers and mysteries. And yeah, do you remember who directed Blood and Black Lace, Raina?
Have you seen that one?
Black
Lace. Yeah, that one's Bava.
Bava, yes. Okay, I did not realize that was Bava. I love that movie, and it's one of the other ones that like kind of helped create the iconography, and I did not realize that was him. I love that movie. That's mm-hmm. so funny. Okay, sorry. But yeah, that's like the tropes. So just so you're aware when like talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like kind of like film noir.
It's very much.
So Blood and Black Lace is even more highly regarded than Bay of Blood. Like Blood and Black Lace, fucking Martin Scorsese and Pedro Almodovar, like, love that movie.
It's fantastic. And Kill Baby Kill is regarded as one of the best, like, top 100 horror movies of all time as well.
I would say the two movies that kickstarted the whole giallo, like, craze, I would say are probably Blood and Black Lace and The Bird with the Crystal Plumage.
Exactly. So true.
By Argento. True.
Yeah.
Yep. But I think we're getting a little distracted. So
for sure.
There's so much to say about these movies, and this director.
There really is, but unfortunately we're running out of time today. So I'm gonna call this one, unless you guys have some closing thoughts on Bay of Blood at all.
I have like a random thought. That's kind of...
This is now the moment for random thoughts.
It's kind of a spicy thought. The girl running around and the one that skinny dipped.
Yeah.
I liked her little dress with her like little like lime green panties.
Yes.
I was like, that's actually kind of a fashion statement.
I am not even lying to you when I say I went on Google and I was looking for a dress like that last night. 100%. Right? And her bow, the hair, and then the little black bow, that whole outfit. I almost said this earlier. The costumes I loved, but her outfit specifically, I was like, I have to find it and I have to recreate it. I love it.
Like, literally, so I think the whole like panties like out thing is like such, you know, like you wear like spicy clothes to the club and like slutty outfits to the club, but like the whole like dress with like where you could see the panties thing was such like another level sexy that like I don't see that often. So I was like, that is such a mood.
Yeah. And it was in a different way than usual. It wasn't like a low cut shirt and stuff like that. Like the top part was pretty conservative, but like it was very like sultry at the same time. Super, super good costume. I loved it.
Love.
Right on. So, Kyla, what do we got coming up? We got a lesson planned. I'm just going to say what our next lesson
is. Okay, because I was like, why are you asking me? You're the planner. I don't know.
No, I'm like, sorry. I'm like remembering. We have a space horror episode coming up.
Yes. I'm excited for that one.
It's our guest that week is going to be a writer of a very popular horror film last year.
Ooh.
That I won't say just yet, but it's been in the works for a little while. We've been in like each other's emails for like months now, but I'm excited to finally have that one happen. And then other than that, I think we're just going to keep doing more of these recesses until schedules open up a little bit more. Right.
Sounds good.
Kyla, where can everyone find you?
I'm Kyla, KAILA _ Ren on Twitter. And all my links are in my bio. I'm going to start writing for my school's newspaper, The Panther, as a features/entertainment writer. So hopefully I'll have more articles out soon.
And then Mads, where can everyone find you?
Yeah, so I'm at Maddie, M-A-D-D-I-E _ Amidala, like Star Wars, on everything. So Instagram, Twitter, and Twitch. And plug my podcast is at Night Sisters Pod on Twitter, and the links for our podcast are on there.
Perfect. And then as always, you can find my writing being hosted over at bloodydisgusting.com and screenqueens.com. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JFC Doomblade. Once again, please be sure to follow us at Horror in Session. Be sure to leave 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That helps us a ton. But thanks once again to Super Yaki for sponsoring the show. And we'll see you guys soon.
See you next time.